Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU First Quarter 2020 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you everybody for joining us today. We have a few slides that summarize our first quarter numbers, and then our CFO, Arturo Silva, will be happy to take any questions at the end of the call. As always, please feel free to contact me afterward if you have any additional questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides today, the presentation is available on our website, www.smu.cal, in the Financial Information section. I sent out the link to the distribution list this morning. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today. As always, please remember to take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number two of our presentation. Just as we did last quarter, we decided to start today's presentation with an explanation of how insurance affected our first quarter results on slide three. The social unrest in Chile that started in October of last year continued to some extent in the beginning of this year. As a result of looting and other acts of vandalism, we had to close three Alvi stores and also two Unimarc stores. We recognized losses from the loss of merchandise and the physical damage to the stores. In addition, the 21 stores that were closed at the end of December due to damages sustained during the crisis remained closed during the first quarter, which means we were losing revenue at those stores while continuing to incur fixed costs. Our insurance policies cover all of these concepts: physical damage, loss of merchandise, and business interruption. We have been working closely with the insurance adjuster since the beginning of the crisis on an extremely detailed store-by-store analysis. As you can see on the slide, the business interruption indemnity is for about 2.6 billion pesos, and that amount is recognized under revenue. However, the way this amount is actually calculated is based on the EBITDA of the stores that were closed, plus the fixed cost. Therefore, even though this number is treated as revenue, it is not equivalent to the loss in sales. As you will see, this has implications for the year-over-year comparison and also for the calculation of gross margin and OpEx margin. Unlike in the fourth quarter, where we had more time to work on the claim, in the first quarter, we're still working on the claim for the physical damage and loss of merchandise indemnity. Therefore, this quarter, we only recognized the losses, which were approximately 5 billion pesos, accounted for under other gains and losses in non-operating income. The offsetting amount of the estimated insurance indemnity will be recognized also in other gains and losses in coming quarters. This means that our operating loss was quite a bit higher this quarter than it otherwise would have been. On slide number four, we have revenue and gross margin for the first quarter. Revenue grew 6.4% with respect to the first quarter of 2019. There are a number of different factors that affect the year-over-year performance here. First of all, we achieved this growth in sales despite having 26 stores closed that had been open during the first quarter of 2019. As I mentioned before, revenue includes 2.6 billion pesos that we reported as the preliminary estimate of the recovery of business interruption insurance. This amount makes up for the loss in EBITDA and covers fixed costs. It is not equivalent to sales. We also think it is important to separate the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic from the performance in the rest of the quarter. We certainly saw an increase in demand during the last two weeks of March as customers stocked up on groceries. However, we were already seeing a positive trend in sales growth between January and the 16th of March. Finally, 2020 is a leap year, which means we have an extra day of sales in the first quarter. Therefore, even if it weren't for the situation with the closed stores, revenue growth would have been even higher because in addition to the lost baseline sales, these stores would have benefited from the positive trend of the quarter. With respect to gross margin, we have an increase of 50 basis points year-over-year from 29.2% to 29.7%. However, this number is affected by the 2.6 billion pesos of business interruption indemnity. Since that amount does not replace the full amount of lost revenue, we have a smaller denominator in the calculation. Excluding the $2.6 billion from gross profits, our gross margin would have been 29.2% in the first quarter of 2020, stable with respect to last year. On slide 5, we have a breakdown of revenue growth by format, comparing the first quarter of 2020 to the first quarter of 2019. As you can see on the graph, the biggest contributors to revenue growth this quarter were Unimark, with 4.2% growth, and the cash and carry format, which increased 11.9%. OK Market saw a decrease in revenues, as this format has been hit harder by reduced operating hours in the beginning of the quarter related to the social unrest, and then with the pandemic and the significant reduction in traffic, as more and more people are staying home. Sales also had a decrease, although there was a significant increase in demand in the last 2 weeks of the quarter. And growth in Peru related to the pandemic was offset by a decrease in sales to mom and pop. On slide 6, we have same-store sales and sales per square meter. In sales per square meter, we have a change because following the social unrest, as we have been repairing and evaluating stores, we've remeasured selling space in all of our stores, and we've updated the numbers in our system where there were differences. This remeasurement is going to be useful going forward in order to maximize the effectiveness of in-store processes and the use of planograms. There is a reduction in total selling space in the first quarter of 2020, and we have restated the 2019 sales per square meter so the two numbers are comparable. As you can see, the increase in sales per square meter year over year was 9.6%, very similar to the increase in same-store sales, which was 9.5%. Same-store sales growth was higher than revenue growth because of the closed stores, which are not included here. The business interruption indemnity is not included in the same-store sales calculation. On the bottom of the slide, we have broken out same-store sales in Chile, showing growth between January and March 15th, as well as full quarter. We separated Chile because in Peru, we saw the impact of the pandemic in the first half of March, so the numbers aren't comparable. As you can see, total same-store sales growth for Chile in the first quarter totaled 9.2%. But even before the increased demand related to the pandemic, we had seen growth of 8.8%. On slide 7, we have operating expenses defined as distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. As a reminder, last year with the application of IFRS 16, these numbers changed. So in this graph, only the last two bars are comparable. We've left the historical figures and the pro forma IAS 17 numbers for 2019, as well as the IFRS 16 numbers for 2019. So you can see how much of the difference can be attributed to the change in accounting rules. The year-over-year increase in operating expenses is 5.5%. And as usual, the biggest increase is in personnel expenses, which increased 5.8%, mainly due to the higher minimum wage. OPEX as a percentage of revenue decreased 10 basis points, reflecting the operating leverage from the high proportion of fixed costs and the top-line growth. However, just as gross margin was distorted, this ratio is also distorted by the business interruption insurance, since, as we have already explained, that amount is less than the actual lost revenue. So when we divide OPEX by revenue, the denominator is smaller than it otherwise would be. Therefore, OPEX margin is inflated. Otherwise, the decrease in OPEX margin would have been 60 basis points instead of just 10. On this slide, we also have centralization, which is an indicator that helps us to monitor operating efficiency and inventory management. In the first quarter of 2020, there is a significant increase from 46.3% to 50.9%. Much of that increase can be attributed to product mix, as we sold more basic goods that generally tend to be distributed through our own logistics network. On slide 8, we have EBITDA, which grew 14.4% with respect to the first quarter of 2019. And our EBITDA margin increased 60 basis points from 8.3% to 8.9%. Just like on the previous slide, we've kept the historical IAS 17 EBITDA numbers for reference, but the comparable numbers are just the last two bars in the graph, which are the IFRS 16 numbers. On the next slide, we have an explanation of our non-operating results. To explain the difference between our non-operating loss of 12.7 billion pesos for the first quarter of 2019 and 24.3 billion pesos for the first quarter of 2020. First, we have the losses from acts of vandalism, which we explained at the beginning of the presentation. This is a non-recurring expense, and moreover, it will be offset during the year when we recognize the related insurance indemnity. Second, as we announced back in April, the Supreme Court handed down its ruling on the proceeding between the Chilean Antitrust Authority and supermarkets, including SMU, increasing the fine imposed on all three food retail chains. We remain convinced that we did not participate in any pricing coordination with our competitors. The events in question took place between 2008 and 2011, and we had just entered the industry as a small player. However, this ruling cannot be appealed. We already had a provision in place, and this quarter we recognized the additional amount of 2.1 billion pesos. This item is also non-recurring. Third, we have the rather unusual year-over-year comparison in losses on inflation-indexed assets and liabilities. Normally, there isn't such a huge difference between quarters in this line item because the base of inflation-indexed liabilities doesn't change much, and inflation is generally pretty stable. However, in the first quarter of last year, there was essentially no inflation. So comparatively, we have a much higher loss this year when we did have inflation. This adds 4 billion pesos to the non-operating loss. On slide 10, we have net income, which fell 10.8% in the quarter, despite the 22.8% improvement in operating income. This was due to the higher non-operating loss. At the bottom of the slide, we've broken out the impacts of operating income, non-operating income, including the non-recurring effect, and taxes, which were lower than last year in part because of lower pre-tax income and also because of inflation adjustments to our tax loss carried forward. On slide 11, you can see the impact of the one-time effect, the losses from vandalism and the fine, on pre-tax income. Pre-tax income, as reported, fell 42% year-over-year, from 13.3 billion to 7.7 billion. Excluding the one-time effect, pre-tax income would have improved 11% year-over-year, from 13.3 billion to 14.8 billion. On slide 12, we have an update on the status of our operations following the social unrest and resulting store closures. As we mentioned, there were 26 stores closed following the crisis. During the quarter, we decided to permanently close two of our OK Market stores, and therefore at the end of the quarter, we had 24 stores closed. A few weeks ago, we reopened one of our Mayorista 10 stores, and we have plans to reopen an Alvi and an Unimark in the coming weeks. The other 21 stores that remain closed are in different stages of evaluation, supplier bidding processes, and executing the construction work. In addition to the 23 stores that are closed following the social unrest here in Chile, we currently have 8 OK Market stores that are located in universities or malls and that have been temporarily closed due to the pandemic. On slide 13, we have an update on some of our operating initiatives. Regarding organic growth, we opened 5 OK Market stores during the first quarter, and we hope to open an additional 5 during the rest of the year. We also hope to open 3 Unimark stores this year. Of course, these plans and other investment projects may be delayed due to restrictions related to the pandemic. Our original CapEx guidance for this year was in the range of 60 to 70 billion pesos, and we currently believe the CapEx will come in lower than that, in the 50 to 60 billion range, and possibly even lower. With respect to customer experience, in April we launched a new app for members of our Club Alvi. This app targets our mom-and-pop customers with a similar structure to our Club Ahorro app for Unimark customers. We've received very positive feedback so far. In terms of sustainability and reporting initiatives, this year for the first time we have prepared an integrated report, combining our traditional annual report with our sustainability report. This was a natural step for us as we seek to improve our ESG disclosure and to strengthen sustainability culture within SMU. In April, we also had our annual shareholders meeting, where shareholders approved payment of a final dividend amounting to 75% of 2019 net income. That dividend was paid on April 28th. On the next slide, we have an update on our financial debt. As you can see on the graph at top, our ratio of net debt to EBITDA has decreased slightly from 4.4 to 4.3 times. At the bottom of the slide is our updated maturity profile. This reflects the situation as presented in our financial statements as of March 31, 2020, with one modification. In January, we had agreed to restructure a loan for 55 billion pesos that was set to mature in the first half of 2020. This happened in January and was described in the subsequent events section of our financial statements and earnings release for the fourth quarter. But there were some quarantine-related delays in the paperwork, so we weren't able to reflect this change in the March financial statement. And so once again, we have a subsequent events note related to this. Under the new structure, instead of the whole $55 billion maturing in the first half of this year, only $5 billion will, and a further $17 billion mature in the second half of the year, with the remainder maturing over the course of 2021. There are other short-term bank loans in our balance sheet as of year-end 2019 and March 2020, which were basically used to finance the extra purchases of merchandise we had to make during the fourth quarter to replace the losses due to looting. Once we receive payment from the insurance company, we will repay those. These are essentially revolving loans, and we also have flexibility in terms of available lines of credit. Finally, in line with the maturity profile, we've included a slide that will hopefully provide some clarity on what we expect in terms of uses of cash this year. We're projecting interest expense of 46 billion pesos and amortization of financial leases in the neighborhood of 50 billion pesos. As I mentioned before, CapEx may vary, but right now we're forecasting something in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 billion pesos, which could end up being lower. And we just paid a dividend of 25 billion. So that puts uses of cash in the neighborhood of 170 to 180 billion, possibly less for the year. On a related note, in April, both of our local credit rating agencies confirmed our A-minus rating following their annual review process. That's it for our presentation. Thank you very much for listening. If there are any questions, Arturo will be happy to take them now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question is from Alonso Aramburu with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call, or good afternoon. Two calls on my end. First, can you give us an update on what has been the performance of the stores in Chile during the last couple of months, or April and May, you know, to see if we've seen the similar levels of same-store sales growth? And second, looking at your balance sheet, net debt to EBITDA has been fairly stable the last couple of quarters. I mean, where do you expect net debt to EBITDA, or where do you want net debt to EBITDA to end this year?
Hi, Alonso. The performance of the store, if we consider the Carlin mentioned, it's important to separate different periods in the first quarter, because in comparison with 2019, the performance has been very good, even in comparison with 2018 and 17, because the food inflation now is higher than previous year, and also we have a similar level of market share to capture the growth of the industry in general. We have a good performance not only in the wholesaler format, also in Unimat. That, as you remember, that in Unimat the growth in 2018 and 19 was very weak, and now was very, very important growth in the first quarter. And if you consider in the numbers until March 15th, the growth was in total in same store sales was 8.8%. But with additional 15 days in March, with the pandemic effect, was we received an additional demand, exceptional demand. And the same-store sale finally was 9.6%. But anyway, until or before the pandemic effect, the same-store sale of the old format except OK Market was very, very important growth. In OK Market, the situation was different because this format suffered in the first quarter the impact of the reduction in the schedule of each day because for the restriction, time restriction to circulate in the city, and the restriction for the public transportation affect the capacity to open the store until the last 2 or 3 hours in the day, affecting the sales in the convenience is very, very, in the convenience business is very, very important. After this period, when the government declared the quarantines, the demand increased exceptionally, the previous 3 or 4 days. And after the demand decreased a little bit. For the same reason, in the end of March, the demand was very good. But in April, in the first days of April, the demand decreased, compensating the previous situation in the end of March. Finally, it's important in the full year analysis to sum March, April, because you have a compensation between both months. In May, the situation is more regular. It's in the level of our expectation, in the similar level of the previous in the beginning of the year. But the expectation for the rest of the year is complicated to project because. Will depend the number of quarantine. No doubt the probably not the total sale in the year, but the performance each month. But no doubt we're expecting more demand in the basic products. We are reorienting the promotions, the assortment for the more basic product. We are seeing more demand for pantry products or stock up products. But in the world, if you analyze the situation in other countries in Europe, for example, you have a step with the. After the insecurity, you have a transition step with demand in perishable product again. What will be the time in this previous step in insecurity? Probably we will have during May will be the situation in Chile, but probably in the next month the situation will be more in the transition situation with more concerning prices, but with more demand in perishable products. We are analyzing the situation every day, every week, the demand for each product because the behavior of the consumer are changing every day depending on the restriction from the government. And the restriction to go to the supermarket, because now it's more complicated to go to the supermarket. And it's very, very important to offer for our customer security, good info, and also good prices. It's the very basic element that the customer are demanding today and probably in the next 2 months. And we are adapting our promotion activities more oriented for this type of products and also a lot of changes in the operational changes, including the element, the security element for the clients and also for our workers. Our view for the rest of the year. All that will be in this line with peaks and in so specific period and after reduction because the customer demand and stock and accumulate stock, and after purchase less. It has been the same in other countries, and Chile is not exception. Will depend on will be the peak in the pandemic in Chile. It's not clear what will be this day, but no doubt we will suffer in Chile some effect in the salaries, in employment, and will affect the capacity to purchase of the customers. Fortunately, we are in the defensive industry, and now the main item for the client is the food, no doubt. And now it's more basic today than 1 month ago, and probably in June and July will be worse. Probably the most of people will think only in food to buy, and that is we are firmly in this industry. But to capture this demand, we need to operate correctly with security in price, assortment, and also operational measures to avoid any healthy problem for our workers and clients. But that is the view for the next month, and we're expecting the of course the more demand in Mayoristas probably than other format because it's a discount format. Probably we adapt the Mayoristas in the last 3 years for the final consumers. Therefore, we have a good format to receive this demand more oriented to price. Or low price, and I think we have a good format to compete in this segment. And also in Unimar, we are adapting the promotion, as mentioned before, the assortment in some stores, because we are analyzing the chance to convert some stores with bad performance in Unimar in Mayorista 10. Probably five or six stores with the idea to improve the performance with this opportunity to capture clients that are finding low prices. That's our view for the next month. It's not easy to project the situation because we're updating our analysis permanently, but in e-commerce, for example, we are working in our plan to develop the stock up purchase of the online clients. But now, this situation is clear that the customer in Chile in e-commerce the behavior is different because In 2019, the demand increased in the express purchase. Now you have a lot of stock up purchasing through online business, and in this business we have a good format with the telemercados, and we are improving the front and back in this format, and with the idea to develop an efficient logistics with one dedicated distribution center to supply with a very good on-time and in-full for our time, because now the express purchase is not so frequent than some months ago.
Thank you, Arturo. And can you comment on leverage and where do you see leverage at the end of the year?
Excuse me. The idea is to keep the level of indebtedness. The idea is to keep the 4.2 times.
Okay. Thank you.
Over.
Once again,
because
if you have
we
a
are
question.
Considering, excuse me, because Alonso, we are, if you consider the cash flow, the use of cash flow, as Karen mentioned, we have some the capex of the company plus the interest expense and rent payment, considering the financial portion. We have less and dividend, and we have less than on our cash generation. Therefore, we have real chance to keep our indebtedness in the same level.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your telephone. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to Carolyn McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us today. I hope you have a great day, and we hope to have you with us for our second quarter earnings call in August. Take care.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your line. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.